You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, 11:33, and we welcome back to the airwaves. That's kind of what we say in radio. Dr. Mark Linus. Hi, Dr. Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. Now, today we're going to start with you busting a few dental myths, right?
That's correct.
What is the most predominant, if there is such a thing, dental myth? What's the one thing that's just totally out to lunch?
Eating too much sugar causes decay.
Oh, all right. Well, then you better explain that.
All right. So it's not the amount of sugar that's the deciding factor with tooth decay. Bacteria will feed on any carbohydrates, sugar being one of them,
yeah.
And the plaque produces acid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that acid that starts the cavity on the enamel. The longer that the bacteria and the acid are working, the more tooth decay you're going to have. So it's actually the amount of time that the sugars are sitting on the teeth.
Right.
I would rather have you have three chocolate bars brushing after each than one sticky chocolate bar and not brushing at all.
Really?
Yeah.
But how long does it take for the sugar on your teeth to do its deadly work?
It can vary depending how hidden it is. I mean, definitely if you're not flossing and food's getting caught, you've got days of time for stuff to be working.
Yeah.
But any time there's a deep groove or there's anywhere, you know, the people who are doing one brush a day or a little bit less, you're giving it 24 hours to work. In 24 hours, you're producing acid. It's starting to work away at the teeth. Now, some people have a stronger enamel, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what they do, they're not going to get cavities. That's the small percentage of genetics you're getting in there. But if you're definitely only doing it once a day, you're giving the bacteria a party of food and
yeah.
acid and stuff.
It's time really... to do its work. Yeah. Well, how many? What's a reasonable number of times a day that one should be brushing one's teeth?
Reasonable. I mean, when we were younger, I used to hear three times a day. Most people are not going to be brushing at lunch. It's great if you can, but most kids aren't going to be doing it at school. It just doesn't happen that way. If you're doing it two times a day and you're putting in 2 minutes each time, and that's really all you need, two good minutes each time, and even if you're flossing even only once a day,
mm-hmm.
you're still doing a really good job. I mean, you know, you don't want to set these expectations to that high that people kind of just finally throw their hands up and say, forget it. You want them to be able to say, you know what, this is normal, first thing in the morning, when I go to bed, if I can floss one of the two times in the day, if you can do it twice, great. But
yeah.
even one time, fantastic.
Oh, and if you're flossing, you're getting rid of the plaque, and the plaque is kind of one of the partners in producing tooth decay, right?
Definitely. And the thing is, the toothbrush doesn't get between the teeth.
Yeah.
So when you've got that big chunk of something stuck between your teeth, I mean, it's the floss that's getting in there to get it out.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. And if you leave it in there, that's why, you know, when we take x-rays, we can normally catch most of the cavities visually when we're going through the mouth. But
mm-hmm.
anything between the teeth, we can't see between. That's why we take the x-rays to see, because it's been working deep down inside between the teeth, and you get those cavities.
Well, that's likely where a cavity is going to begin, because it's hiding away in a corner somewhere,
it's
in a crack.
Hiding away.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any other ways to do this? What about that magic gum you hear advertised? You pop some of the gum in your mouth and it gets rid of all those nasty food particles.
It definitely helps. It's not the same as brushing, but saliva in itself will help wash away some of the food and some of the particles. So if you can do, you know, 10 minutes of chewing gum, especially the xylitol, the non-sugared,
yeah.
It definitely helps. It keeps the acid levels down. I mean, it just helps in general.
Generally speaking, helps. Yeah.
Sorry?
Generally speaking, helps, yeah.
Generally, it definitely, especially if you can't get that middle-of-the-day brush, it certainly helps, yes.
What about mouthwash? Does it play a role?
It definitely brings down the levels of bacteria. It's still not going to take the plaque very well off the teeth. It's still, you need a bit more of the manual. So
yeah.
again, any of those are the in-between things, or if you don't get to something, it certainly helps. It freshens your breath, certainly.
Yeah, well, I
we
guess.
We know those sometimes people you get close to and you get that bad.
Yeah, breath. Yeah, no, that's true. What about those machines? I don't know. I can't remember what they're called. Like a,
Waterpik.
Yeah, that's it. A Waterpik. Do they do anything?
They're great, and they can fire the water. So if you're not getting the flossing as well, and if manual dexterity, or you just don't love doing it, it definitely helps to fire that water between the teeth, and it really will help get a lot of the plaque out between the teeth. So those really are good.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, again, a lot of people don't love flossing, I know, but we really know more and more that it's one of the better things to be doing with as an adjunct to your brushing.
What about flossing with those little, if you go into a drugstore, you can see those little framed flossing units. In other words, people who get all hung up on doing the string thing with their fingers can take one of these little framed
Y-shaped.
That Y-shaped, wishbone-shaped thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're excellent. Anything you're going to get in between is fine. Even a toothpick, if you can. I mean, it's not as ideal.
Yeah.
But as long as you're not really injuring the gum and you're just trying to work at something, anything you're going to get in there is going to help loosen it. And if you can loosen getting that food out of there, getting the carbohydrates, getting the sugars out between your teeth more than anything, certainly that's going to help.
But in all of this, in fact, you bring up an interesting and important point, I think. You got to be sure that you're not injuring your gums in the process of all of this.
And that's the same even with flossing. You don't want to be snapping the floss down so it's actually cutting the gum. You're going to actually use a little bit of a seesaw motion to get it down between the tight part of the two teeth that are joined, and then it goes softly and just go back and forth. And you're just thinking about loosening it, and it will loosen quite easily.
Yeah, okay. If you do that frequently, it's not that hard to get the plaque and the particles out, right?
I'm assuming.
Exactly.
And then if you're going to your dentist times or more in a year, then you're going to have the hygienist who's going to do that scaling and get between the teeth and really going to get anything you did miss. Again, some people kind of get that idea, well, if I'm brushing and I don't have any problems or pain, I don't have to go to the dentist. But that's not true. You really do need that extra checkup by the dentist and the cleaning by the hygienist.
By the time you get the pain, it's a bit too late.
Well, that's one of the other things. Some people think that a cavity has to cause pain, and that is not true.
Yeah.
Basic cavity, you're not going to feel until it gets to a deeper part. So it's already gone to the part where it starts to harm the nerve. You want to get in and get the cavity caught, if you do have one, certainly before it gets to that point. You want to have that checkup or that x-ray and says, hey, it's small, let's get it now.
Okay. All right, I think we have pretty well wrestled that sugar, consumption of sugar, wrecking your teeth, a myth to the ground, okay?
All right.
Let's go for why take care of your baby teeth? They're going to fall out when you grow up anyway.
All right. So the main thing with that is, one, if you do get cavities, they can go through the baby teeth up to the end of the root, and the permanent tooth is forming up above that baby tooth. And you can actually cause infection that can eat away at the beginning of a permanent tooth before the permanent tooth has even come down.
Really? When it's still up in the jaw?
Up in the jaw. So all those permanent teeth are hiding up there. Even as a baby, they're up there and they're starting to form as that tooth is forming. So if you can get an infection, which is a cavity that's gone bad, and it goes up through the baby tooth, it can definitely start to cause a problem with the permanent tooth.
So you really have to be just as careful with the baby teeth as the permanent teeth.
Certainly. And if you let something rot or you pull a tooth, you start pulling a few baby teeth, the permanent ones start to come in, and they sometimes don't come in the right place because the space isn't held the right way.
Yeah.
So they start coming in at different angles. So you want to keep all your baby teeth as long as you can, certainly until they normally should fall out.
So then if you're keeping your baby teeth as long as you can because you looked after them or because your mom and dad said you had to look after them, you may not need to visit the guy who puts braces on your teeth.
In some cases,
in some cases, maybe.
But, I mean, more and more, certainly, people want the perfect smile and the perfect occlusion and dentition. So there's certainly a lot of kids who are certainly going to need braces in the end. But for ones who have had teeth pulled, there's definitely a better chance, especially if they hadn't gone to the dentist, that the teeth may come in a weird place. So it could prevent, in certain cases, going to the orthodontist, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, so that's myth number two, baby teeth. You do have to take care of them. What about putting, and I hear this one all, I've heard this one many, many times, put an aspirin on top of a tooth that's aching and it will take care of the pain.
One, you don't do it when you have a headache. You don't hold it on your forehead, do you?
Let me think. No, I don't do that.
Number one, it's a very strong, powerful little pill there that actually burns the tissue. So you never, never put an aspirin ever beside on the tissue. It will actually burn it.
So it's beyond useless. It's harmful.
It's harmful. So you want to take any over-the-counter pain medication, great. One of the easiest basic things you can do if you can't get into the dentist right away, oil of clove.
It still works, eh?
It still works. Whatever they said hundreds of years ago and, you know, wives' tales, it works. It definitely, it's even used, that same smell is in a temporary filling or something to actually, that the dentist can use sometimes to ease pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's definitely, do not put aspirin on the gum beside the tooth. Take the aspirin if you need to, certainly, but get oil of clove and that will help until you can get into the dentist.
What's the best medication for that kind of tooth pain?
You know what? Any of the Advils, the Motrins. Yeah. I mean, the thing with aspirin, too, is it is a bit of the blood thinner, so you don't want to use it if you don't have to. But if it works for you, that's great.
And you wouldn't use it as a kid, either. You wouldn't give it to a kid, either, of course.
You definitely don't give it to a kid.
Yeah. So, but they're all pretty equal, you think, in your estimation?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has something that they like more than another. So, you know, if you like Aleve, I mean, they're all good. I don't want to give, you know, every brand name.
No.
They're all, whatever is going to work for you. You just want to get through till you can get in as an emergency if you've got that kind of pain.
Yeah, okay. What about putting a tea bag on it? I've heard that my grandmother used to say that. I think she used to do it.
From what I've read, in some cases it works. I don't know about long-term studies with that. I mean, generally, if you can get the oil of clove, I know it's going to work the best. I mean, it's a big tea bag. It's going to help a little bit, certainly, if you've had an extraction site and keeping a little bit of pressure on there. The tannins will help in the healing.
Yeah.
But I don't know as much for the toothache.
Yeah, okay. What about the tooth fairy? Are there any myths involved there?
The tooth fairies right now, from what I hear, are giving big bucks.
Yeah,
not like the nickels and dimes and quarters that we got as kids. I'm hearing 20 bucks sometimes. I don't know. This inflation is
Mary
crazy.
Was saying 13 bucks. The going rate is 13 bucks for a tooth?
On first ones, I've heard 20 bucks. I've heard Nintendos are under the bed.
Nintendos?
I've heard Nintendos. Tooth fairies have gone crazy.
That's incredible. So if you take out one of those baby teeth, I'm sure you get the request from the boy or the girl. I got to have that too, so I can put it under the pillow, right?
I think there's extra actually. If the dentist does it, there's an extra bonus. I know parents aren't going to like me for this one, but yes, there's an extra bonus from the tooth fairy. I think if the dentist gets to pull it out.
Why is that? I wonder.
It must be the stress that we have.
I don't know. So doing away with tying a string around the tooth and tying it to the doorknob and slamming the door.
I've definitely heard from definitely many older patients that was one of the ways they used to do it.
Yeah, I'm half serious about that because when I was a kid, long before you were a kid, that was, I think, fairly accepted practice.
You know what? I'm going to guess probably. Oof. I think just the cost of going to a dentist back then, I mean, it just wasn't as common a thing. And if you're going to save money getting the baby tooth out, like they said, certainly back then they didn't know as much. Get it out of there. It's just a baby tooth.
I guess as long as the doorknob holds up, you're okay. All right. Now, if you have a comment or a question about dental care, Dr. Mark is going to stay right here for the next 10 or 15 minutes for your questions. You give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hog Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Mark Linus is here today to talk about dental care, and we've got a number of callers. If you want to join the list, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Joanne is on the line from Brampton. Joanne, have you got a question?
Hi, gentlemen. My doctor has put me on an oral rinse called Paradex. It's by prescription, and I want to know if it's safe for me to continue on that long term.
Yes, it definitely is. Is there a reason why? I mean, were you having some periodontal problems?
Yeah, I have bacteria in my mouth, so I'm cavity prone.
Okay, yeah, no, there's no problem with that. I mean, I know it costs a little bit more, but it definitely works better than just an over-the-counter mouthwash. It definitely has some stronger antibacterial properties to it. So if you're having a problem with that, for sure, there's no problem taking that.
Does it seem to be working?
The bottle that it will increase your tartar. So should I have my teeth cleaned like 3 times a year or something?
It wouldn't hurt at that point. Certainly, when you go in the next time, speak to the hygienist. They're going to be able to gauge. They're going to have notes from the previous time. They'll have an idea as to how much, and if they think they'll recommend it, or the dentist, either of the two. Some people, you know, they do build up tartar faster. Some people not as much. But certainly I would speak with the hygienist or the dentist at your next appointment for sure.
But there are no long-term problems as far as you know,
Doctor. Nothing that I know of, no.
Yeah, okay.
Joanne,
thanks very much. Okay. Okay, bye-bye. Now, Joanne was saying she is cavity-prone. Is that how you class some people?
You know, I've had some people, like, they come in and they have plaque all over their teeth. More kids, let's say.
Yeah.
Plaque, tartar, you clean it all up, and the enamel is still solid.
Yeah.
There's other people, you can see that they're trying their best, and they do seem to have, it's a bit of a weaker enamel. Genetically, again, there is some predisposition from your parents, and those are the few people who may build up more, whether they're going to get cavities more, whether they're going to build up tartar more. There are some people who never get tartar, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
And is that genetic, the fact they don't get tartar?
It has to. I mean, from what I know, it is. I mean, it's not just a brushing thing, because generally you'll get some on almost everybody, but there's a small percentage that never have tartar.
And the strength of your teeth, a lot of that comes from your parents, right?
Definitely from your parents, and a lot of the foods you're having. You know, again, these teeth are beginning to form while you're in gestation, while you know your mother's pregnant. So if your mother's eating well, if you're given really good foods, not all of the crap that people are eating, not just fast foods, but sugary stuff, if you're having really well-balanced diets, your teeth are going to be benefiting from that.
Does your tooth enamel tend to weaken as you get older?
Well, all the foods that you're eating, especially acidic ones, even, you know, your Cokes and all the drinks, even orange juices, they're slowly going to wear down the amount of enamel. Even just the amount of brushing, even with a light brush, it still will take down the enamel. So by the time you're getting older and older and older, it is going to be thinner than certainly when your teeth came in and you were 6 to 12 years old, and that's the thickest. It will wear down. But again, you know, people used to use hard brushes. Now, soft brushes. We know what happens over years.
So hard brushes are really definitely out now, aren't they?
Definitely out. Soft brushes are the only way to do it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you can do to help preserve that enamel if it does, you know, because we do eat all these and drink all these acidic things, blah, blah, blah. Is there anything we can do? There are some products on the market that would seem to suggest that you can protect that enamel if you use a certain toothpaste or something like that.
Some of them, they now have these products that do help to remineralize. I mean, if there's very, very, very small cavities starting in enamel now, and you catch them before they get to the inside of the tooth, you can actually reverse them with some of these toothpastes, yes.
So this technology is getting a little better as we go along, isn't it?
It's definitely getting better. I mean, they're even working on mouth rinses that will kill all the bacteria that could potentially cause cavities. So they're working on it. I mean, it's going to be a big business whenever that final thing comes through, and who knows what'll happen to dentists at that
point.
Well, I was
going to say, that'll never put you out of business. I can't imagine. There's so many dental
things that people want with, you know, white teeth, bleaching teeth, straight teeth. There's enough other things around.
No kidding. Here's Marilyn calling from Keswick. Marilyn, do you have a question?
Yes. My son has a toothache, has had for about 10 days while he was on his holidays, and now has gone back to work. And he works 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And last night he said he had a bad taste in his mouth. And I said, well, you should rinse with a whitening mouthwash that has peroxide in it. And I would like to know what the risk is if this is abscessed and is broken.
Well, what is that bad taste, Dr. Mark?
It's my guess. I mean, depending where it's coming from. I mean, from the inside of the tooth, it may be something. At this point, if it's been 10 days, he may need a root canal. The nerve may be dying. It doesn't mean he's going to lose the tooth, but it definitely means he needs to get in immediately if they need to get him on some antibiotics to start killing the bacteria, because if he's tasting it, he's swallowing it.
Yeah.
Now you're getting the bacteria into your stomach, and it starts to go through your whole system, so you want to get rid of it as fast as you can.
And that's a danger to your general health, isn't it?
It definitely is a danger. So, I mean, you know, your stomach starts to get infected with the same bacteria. So if you can get in, I mean, as fast as you can get in, at least to any emergency clinic, if he doesn't have a dentist, get them to get him on, at least if it's an antibiotic, or figure out what the problem is, certainly. But if it's an antibiotic, start to kill the infection. And then once it's settled a bit, then they can do the treatment, whether it be root canal or if it's a gum problem, whatever it may be.
Yeah, Marilyn, mouthwash alone is not going to cut it, I guess.
No, I didn't think so, but I don't know what emergency facilities there would be.
Well, he's going to have to look around and find some, right?
Look around. And even, you know, I mean, certainly if you put in for your area, even in the malls, most malls now will have a dental clinic, and they usually take walk-in clinics.
Good idea.
Walk-in patients.
All right.
Yeah.
But
get
them to one. That's fine.
For
Thanks,
sure.
Marilyn, very much.
Thank you.
Those things could really escalate into some pretty serious problems, could they not?
They can. I mean, these infections, these facial infections, sometimes when they start to blow up, it's almost past getting to the antibiotic. If you let it go long enough, you start getting those facial swellings and you don't treat them in the first 24 hours.
Wow.
They can really blow up quickly where you actually have to go to an oral surgeon or into the hospital. They actually have to cut the gum from inside the mouth and to drain it. It's almost like a sac of infection, and it gets so big that the antibiotic can't even work on it.
All right. Here's Dominic from Guelph. Dominic, do you have a question?
Yes. I would like to know, how much it costs for the cleanup of the teeth when every time you go to the dentist?
How much it costs?
Yes.
All right. Can you quote some ODA fees here, Dr. Mark?
It's going to vary. It goes by time units.
Yeah,
it can go anywhere. It could be $100. It could be $200. If you haven't gone in a long time, you may need, two full 1 hour appointments to clean it. So for every person, it's going to vary. You can be out in half an hour. It could be a very, quick and easy appointment. It can go, $200, $300, $400. It just depends how much, and every case is going to be different.
It depends on the amount of time spent. Is that the idea?
It's the amount of time spent. Yes.
Yeah.
It goes in 15-minute units generally, or 10-minute units, and the more work they have to do, it's a time-based thing.
Okay, Dominic, thanks very much for that. Here's Marcia on the line from Port Colborne. Marcia, go ahead. What would you like to add?
I've been going to the dentist twice a year since year dot, and when I was
year
in
what?
England, of course. I did the same thing, and I went to this one dentist. I had a baby tooth, and he was fascinated with it. And he was to fill back molar, but he was looking on this baby tooth, and he didn't really clean that back molar out. But he says, that'll have to come out. The baby tooth has to come out,
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I said, take it out.
Right.
And I want it because I've had it that long.
Yeah, but you'd grown accustomed to having it there.
Well, I got a gap there now.
Yeah.
But with him not doing the back molar properly, the tooth collapsed, so I had to go and have that pulled.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one good thing. My wisdom tooth dropped down.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's... is that an unusual story, Dr. Mark?
For a baby tooth to be that far back, it does sound weird, but I've had people who have had a tooth that has kind of rotted away, and a wisdom tooth sitting up high up in the gum has dropped down after the fact. Yes, that has happened before.
Yeah. So, Marcia, do you count that as a happy ending? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I can't think it. But I have got the tooth. I said to the nurse, I said, I want that tooth. I've had it this long. I want it. And I took it home, and I looked. There was no cavity in it.
Yeah.
And you could see where the root had started to dissolve and then stopped.
Yeah, well.
Maybe put it under your pillow for the tooth.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I don't feel you can give me anything for it.
Thank you, Marcia. I don't know. A Nintendo game? Good grief.
If that's what they want. Now, one other final thing.
Yeah.
For people who have a full set of dentures and no teeth, please make sure you get to the dentist every few years or even once a year just for a quick check. Let them check your tissues. Make sure there's nothing going wrong, because once you don't have teeth, you think there's no point.
Yeah.
But really, make sure that every once in a while you get to the dentist, they can check. I hate to say that things can happen on the gums, things you find in the mouth, and you just want to make sure nothing's going wrong. So just to get the tissues, the jaw, everything checked, just to make sure the fit of the dentures work, just make sure you can get to the denture. Don't think you never have to go again because you don't have teeth.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Dale. Have a good weekend.
You too now. Okay, bye for now. Okay, that's Dr. Mark Linus. He'll be back in a few weeks to offer us more advice. And who knows, he might even bust another myth.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.